Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Well, I'll say it one more time this morning. Happy Father's Day. So today, the title of my message is called A Love Story Told by a Son. And, you know, as we celebrate Father's Day, it's an honor to be on this pulpit this morning. So I want to thank my spiritual father, Pastor Charlie, and Susie, for giving me this honor to be here this morning. You know, I prayed for a long time. I used to ask God every week, God, when are you going to let me preach on Father's Day? He said, when you stop asking me. That was a year and a half ago. Thank you, Jesus. It comes in his time, not our time. And so this morning, I'm going to preach about Father's Day, but I'm going to do it from the place of a son. You know, Pastor Charlie recently has been talking to us about going back to the basics. So we're going to start the beginning of my message with the basics of sonship so that we understand where I'm going today. And then I'm going to share with you a great love story that only God could do. You know, I keep thinking about Father's Day, and I think about how we've planned Father's Day in this country about honoring men in the flesh, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to start by honoring our Heavenly Father and realizing that He is the true Father. And so our Father's Day praise and adoration for Him starts there. And so I want to just give a shout out to the praise and worship team, because this morning you all took us into the throne room. And you took us into a place on Father's Day that we needed to go. I needed to go there. If nobody else did, I sure did. So if you have been at Identity Church for any amount of time, you know that we are about fathers and sons and family in this house. If you've missed the last month or you've never been here before, Pastors Mike and Lisa shared lots about family with us and really imparted into us what a healthy family looks like. So Romans 8, we'll start there, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of adoption, sorry, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. What does that say? It says we're sons. It says we're sons. It feels good today. It's Father's Day. It's nice to know we're sons, especially today. You know, the main verse that makes me think about how much God loves us is the verse that got me saved, and that's Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, as I prayed this week, I was reminded that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And his work on earth today is carried out by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, in addition to me saying Happy Father's Day to Father God, I was saying Happy Father's Day to Jesus, Happy Father's Day to the Holy Spirit, to the whole Trinity, because we celebrate the three as one together. And then I think we're going to go to John, I think 14 maybe? Is that where our next one? Yeah, I didn't have the, I know what verse is, like 15 through 21, but I'm going to go to John. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later and will be in you. Wow, that's powerful. I think about that, and I think about what's going on in the world today. And I think about how most of the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit, but we do. And it's our job to take the Holy Spirit and show the world what the Holy Spirit looks on you looks like. I think about that today as a son. I think about that. It's our job to be a vessel when we leave this place today. It's our job to demonstrate what it looks like to be a son and not an orphan as we leave this place today. Verse 18, "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live." How comforting. "When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them." Isn't that just what we said? "And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." What is that saying? It's saying God wants to love us, and he does love us, but he wants to reveal himself to each of us through the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a great word for us today on Father's Day. As we have known this holiday to celebrate our earthly fathers and spiritual fathers, like I said, I'm going to say it one more time because I don't believe we say it enough, lest we not forget to honor our Heavenly Father today. You know, I was praying this week, and yes, I do pray, and I was praying this week, and I kept hearing, "I want more of your time, son." And I realized that the greatest gift we can give God is our time and is our love and is our intimacy. And that's what he desires most from us. The story I'm going to tell you today isn't possible without his love. It would never have been possible. And so my message today is a love story. It may sound rough at first, but you'll see the honor and the love I have for my dad as I share this with you. I want to talk to you today about David Gilman. He's a great man, and I never shared much about him before, not like I have. When I was a child, I was, or even before I was born, my parents lived in Canada. My dad got a job in Massachusetts, and my family moved to Massachusetts, and I was actually born in the U.S. as a U.S. citizen. My parents both later became U.S. citizens. But my dad always said that he wanted me to have a chance at life here in the United States. For some of you that don't know Canada, it's a little different in Canada. It's not the same. People think just because we're on the same continent that it's very similar. It's a little bit harder to make it in Canada. You have a lot of people living with their families. You have very high taxes. You don't have the kind of job system that we do here. And so my dad wanted a better life for me. And my dad left a family business in Canada. My grandpa ran a men's suit store where he built suits for men. And my dad left that security blanket and left the nest so that I could have a better life and that my mom could have a better life. My parents were both born and raised Jewish. I was born and raised Jewish. My grandparents were extremely abusive, and they verbally and physically abused my dad and much of the grandkids as well. A swimming race in the pool was not a swimming race between two cousins. It was the Olympics, and you better realize that the loser was going to hear what a loser they were all night long. So I'm sharing this with you so you understand what my dad came from and dealt with most of his life. When I was a year old, we moved to Florida. And so my wife loves to remind me that I'm still a Yankee by birth. But I've been here longer than most people in Florida have, including you, sweetheart. I love you. My dad was very mentally ill from all the abuse that my grandpa gave him. You know, you go through some stuff and you get to a place where you just stop thinking rationally, where, you know, you do things to compensate for what has happened to you. How we got to Florida, that's an interesting story. My dad had, when he left Montreal, had a vagabond spirit till the day he died. He lived at 80 addresses in about 40 years, 45 years, maybe 50 years. So he had a lot of different, he liked to move. Now, the vagabond spirit did have its good points. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying go out and be a vagabond, okay? God has used that for the good of others. When I was 6 years old, my parents got divorced. And, you know, for years of my life, I always used to really resent the divorce. And as I start to, you know, you get older and you understand things and you realize that, hey, maybe this wasn't such a bad thing. I'm not saying divorce is good, but maybe some good came out of their separation. You know, when I was 13 years old, I asked my dad, could I go live with him? He was living in Canada. And he said to me, he said, no, I'm single. This isn't a good idea for you to come live with me. And later in life, I understood what that meant. But at 13, I didn't understand what that meant. And, you know, you think about it, and at 13, every boy wants his daddy. At least most do. I was 6, and I wanted my daddy, and I was 13, and I still wanted my daddy, and I still wanted to be like him because I didn't know any different. I knew what a son knows, and a son wants to be like his dad. So, you know, here's dad out in California doing his thing, and here's me over here doing all kinds of drugs and LSD and pot and everything else I could get my hands on in my teenage years. And then at 17 years old, I asked my dad again, could I go live with him? And now my dad was married and I had a stepsister and a stepmom and all this. And dad said, no, it's not good. It's not a good thing for you to come live with me right now. So fast forward, I graduated high school. A couple years later, my dad came into for my graduation. And at that point in my life, he decided to speak some death over me. And he said to me, he said, I want you to go work at the post office. Now understand, my dad sold for a living. He said, I want you to go work at the post office and sort the mail. You won't account for anything more in your life. And that was like a bullet to the heart for the longest time. And for years, it used to drive me. It used to just push me in business. I wanted to go, because I wanted to prove him wrong. So I finally got to a place where I knew how to abide in the Lord and I didn't have to strive for anything and that God would open up the doors for me. But it took me a long time to learn that. We had a rocky relationship in my 20s. It was good for the first part of my 20s, and then it was a little rocky. I met Alice in my late 20s after I had a failed marriage, and I met Alice and we got married, and I still didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't have an example of how to be a husband. Shoot, I didn't even know how to be a son. You know, when I met Pastor Charlie in 2010, he said to me, he said, I want you to go repent to your dad. And I said, why? My dad's a jerk. He says, go tell him you love him. I said, my dad's a jerk. And then he told me the story about his relationship with his dad. I said, okay, I guess I can go repent to my dad. I can go love him. So I went and I sent my dad this beautiful letter and told him how much I loved him. And my dad was so demonized that he totally manifested on me and threatened to kill me. He left a message on an answering machine at my mom's house, who he hadn't talked to in like 10 years or 15 years, telling her that he wanted to kill me. And I think about it and I was like, thanks, Charlie. You told me to go repent to him and tell him I love him, and it just like backfires in my face. So anyway, I go back to Charlie and Charlie goes, did you do what I asked? And I said, I did. He said, now you know how to be a son. He said, now I can father you. He said, but I can't father you if you don't know how to be a son. Part of my message today is we have to learn how to be sons, and there's different levels of sonship. We keep learning and God keeps building in us, and we keep growing and growing and growing. But we have to start by going back to the basics. You know, my dad didn't teach me how to be a husband. Jesus had to teach me how to be a husband because I had no idea. I had no idea what it meant. My dad hated that I was a Christian. For the longest time, he hated that I was a Christian. Why? He was a warlock, okay? And he was proud of it. He bragged to Charlie and I one day at lunch about it. So, you know, he loved being that. It's interesting. In March of 2015, after I hadn't spoken to my dad for 2.5 years, he called me. And I remember that phone call. You don't forget phone calls like that. And he said, Brad, I'm dying. He goes, I have a week left to live. Come see me. I said, okay, I'm bringing Alice with me. He said, that's fine. Now, he never liked Alice. Should have been red flag number one. My dog didn't like my dad. So that was the one person my dog didn't like. But Alice and I got in the car and we went to see my dad. And as he came out with his walker and his legs were all bandaged, and he got in the car and he was in the back seat and he didn't hear very well. And I said to Alice, I said, what smells in the car? And she said, did you see your dad's legs were wrapped? I said, yeah. She goes, his flesh is rotten. And I said, oh, it was from the diabetes. So we went out to lunch, and I said, where do you want to go? He says, I want to go to the beach. So we went to the beach and found a nice restaurant on the beach and went in and sat down and had this wonderful visit that was so long overdue, that we had never had a visit like this in our lives. And I kept waiting for the other shoe to fall, like, when is this going to go bad? Because I know how it is with him. And God's like, stop thinking like that. This is me. Know this is me. Know what's going on here with your dad. I said, okay. When we got back, we went upstairs to his apartment, and I sat down with him. And you know, sometimes in life, you have these father-son talks that need to probably happen more than they do. But we sat down, and Alice decided to go downstairs and let Dad and I be together. And he looked at me and he said, I'm so proud of you, son. He said, you have no idea how proud of you I am. He says, the things you've done in your life, he goes, you far surpassed me. He goes, I used to hate it, and now I'm thankful for it. And I looked at him and I said, I love you, Dad. And I said, there's something I need to tell you. And he said, what? I said, I wrote a book. You may not agree with everything in it. I said, but I wrote a book. And I have a copy today for all the men. You can get one from Marianne on the way out. It's called Thrust Into the Fire. And I handed my dad my book. And he looked at me and he said, wow. He said, I never thought my son would graduate college, let alone write a book. He said, or be a salesman, because every time he used to mention being a salesman, I used to tell him I would never be like him and that I would never do that. Well, guess what? It's in the family blood. Okay, both sides of the family. So we sat there and we had this time together. It was the best time on earth we've ever had with each other. And I was like, wow, he's making peace. And so I saw him one more time in September. About 7 months later, I saw him. And we went out for lunch one day, and we were with each other about 30 minutes, and we realized that we both made a mistake. We realized that we had made peace with each other, and that was it. We should stop there. And he says, I read your book. And I said, okay. I said, what'd you think? He goes, well, you know I work for Satan, so I didn't like it. And I looked at him, and I was like, okay. And then he starts with the racial slurs in the restaurant we were in, and I said, okay, I think it's time we're done with lunch. And I left some money on the table. I said, I love you. See you later, and left. This is the last time I saw Dad. In May of 2016, I was in California, where my dad lived a great deal of my life. And I was out there, and I was dealing with all kinds of back issues, and I was in so much pain, I couldn't hardly walk at the point. And I was going to acupuncturists and everything, just because I couldn't sleep. It felt like somebody was ripping layers of my skin off my back. Oh, it was brutal. And I said, God, what am I doing out here? I'm done with my work meeting. Alice and I are on vacation. We can go home and have vacation. I don't need to be here. God said, no, it's something I want you to do. So Alice and I get in the car, and we go and found an apartment that my dad lived at when he was in California that I spent a couple weeks at on two different occasions. And as we went and found this apartment, you could get out of the car and walk through the poverty-stricken courtyard of this apartment. And I realized that it was poverty-stricken 20 years earlier when I was there, and it was still the same way today. I remember when my dad lived there, probably in the late 80s, it was $525 a month for a one bedroom. Now it was $1,100 a month for a one bedroom. You could hear the gunshots around the corner of where this place is in Los Angeles. It's right near Long Beach. And you could hear the gunshots of where it was. So Alice and I were in the car, and we're in this Ford Flex from the rental car company, this brand new white Ford Flex. And I said to her, we are in the wrong neighborhood to be in this car. And she said to me, yeah. And I said, well, she's like, let's get out and go walk the property. I'm like, I'm not walking this property. We're out of here. So I said, we came here. We did what we needed to do. We prayed and we left. That was Tuesday. Probably Thursday, I was feeling terrible. And I said, God, I just want to go home. I know we're going home on Saturday, but I want to go home tomorrow. And God said to me, he said, no, 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 you're going back. You're going back to Bellflower tomorrow. And I'm like, ugh. I said, okay. So we went back there. And what I realized is Alice was right. I should listen to my wife more. I needed to get out of the car and walk around there. And as we walked around there, I realized that a spirit of poverty had been placed on me when I was a young man there in that complex and staying in there. And I looked around and the memory I used to have of it was different than what I saw there, but that memory I used to have was distorted and was a lie to make me think that that was acceptable for me. And that's not what God had called me to. But as we sat there, as we walked the complex, I realized, I was like, this is really bad. I'm like, this was really bad. My dad grew up, like I said, with my grandfather who did pretty well with money. They left him a good chunk of money. And so I could never understand why my dad was living there. But what I understood was is that my dad didn't know who he was as a son. And because he didn't know who he was as a son, he would never ask grandma and grandpa for enough money to get him out of living in that place. He was on his own when he went to California in his mind, and he never would have asked for their help, which they would have given. He asked for a lot of help from them, but not the right kind of help. So it's really interesting. So here we are, and we get back in the car, and I said to Alice, we just need to pray right now. So we're sitting in the car, and we're praying, and then God starts to take me through deliverance, and my wife starts to minister deliverance to me right in the car in the street in front of this apartment. And I don't even realize anything that's going on in the surroundings. And it was, you look and you say, wow, I never knew that I had this attachment. And see, what happens when we get intimate with the Father is that he starts to bring us back to places and people and things where things have happened to us. And he starts to bring us back there to heal us. That was healing. Let me tell you something. After we left there, my back was fine. We flew home the next day in coach across the country in a tight little plane. My back was fine. 6 hours on a plane the next day. There was no problem with the problem was spiritual. As we were there that day, though, before we left, I heard that my dad was dead and that region was claimed for God and no longer for the enemy. And that I have rights to that region when God assigns me to it one day. But in the meantime, I still hold rights to that region. And I was like, wow. So in June of 2016, Dad called me from Las Vegas. And he was in Tampa the last I had heard, and he calls me on Father's Day. Well, first I start getting calls from the Clark County Detention Center, the county jail there in Las Vegas. And the next thing you know, I get calls from my dad, and he's blowing up my phone, and I answer the phone. I said, Happy Father's Day. Where are you? Why is the jail calling me? He says, well, I escaped the hospital because I didn't want to be there anymore. And I said, okay. I said, how did you get to Vegas? He goes, I called you 2 months ago. We talked for 3 hours about this. And I said, no. He said, oh, I know I did. You're crazy. And I said, no, we didn't have that talk. So we talked for a few minutes, and he says, look, I got to go. And I said, okay. In late June, Southwest Airlines calls me out of the clear blue, and they said, we're looking for David Gilman. I said, well, this is Brad Gilman. I don't regularly talk to my dad, but why are you looking for my dad? And they said, actually, I think it was early July. They said, well, late June, he took a flight from Las Vegas to Tampa, and he left his luggage at the airport. And I said, okay. I said, where's the luggage now? She goes, Atlanta. I go, well, here's his number. She goes, I've been calling his number. It's disconnected. I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. I said, if you can't reach him on that number, I don't have any place to reach him. In late July, Alice and I were up in New York City, and we had come back to our hotel that night in New Jersey, and my mom called me and said that Tampa General Hospital had called her and said that my dad was in the hospital there, and they had found him in a stairwell beaten up, And they realized that he was mentally incapable of taking care of himself. Now, understand, I had tried to have him Baker acted three different times in his life, and every time I did that, he didn't like me too much. Most people wouldn't if you try to do that to them. So anyway, they had finally got him some help, but now they said he was mentally incapable of taking care of himself and making medical decisions, and they wanted me, his son, to come be his healthcare guardian, medical surrogate, all of that stuff. And I said, no way. I said, no, I can't do this. And it was interesting because I said that and I thought, and it was the gut response that came out of me. And I talked to Pastor Charlie about 2 hours later and he goes, you made the right choice. He goes, you know what this is. And I said, I understand. So on Thanksgiving, my mom went to call my dad. This is 2016. And I said to Alice, and my mom and my dad were on and off friends for the rest, most of his life. And I said to Alice, I said, and I didn't know why I said this. I said, why is she calling a dead man? And that was his birthday, November 24th. And I said, why is she calling a dead man? And Alice looks at me, she goes, I don't know. And my mom got somebody else who had the phone number now. And so we didn't hear anything. Well, on December 3rd, we received a call from the Clark County coroner. So now he's back in Vegas, and we received a call from the coroner that he had died. They found him on November 30th, and he had been dead for 6 days. So what I was hearing was God telling me that Dad had passed that morning when I said, why is she calling a dead man? They found him alone, which is what he wanted. It took me a long time in life to be a son enough to respect his wishes that he wanted to be alone. I fought him on it because that's not what God wants for us. That's not who God wants us to be. You know, I harp on relationship a lot. There's a reason we're supposed to walk together. So the owner of the hotel or motel had found my dad. It was a pay-by-the-week place. And they had found him because he hadn't come down to the office to pay. So the next day after we find this out, a prophet called me who I hadn't spoken to for 3 years, who knew nothing about my dad. And he proceeds to tell me, he says, you know, in May that you went to your dad's old apartment. And I was like, okay, not too many people know about this. And he goes, he goes, and you heard that your dad had died that day, those words? And I said, yeah. He goes, your dad did die that day. He died to himself and gave his life to Jesus. He goes, that's what God meant when he told you that dad died that day. He said, your book was what led him to the Lord. I'm sitting here weeping in my car because I'm going, thank you, Jesus, that here you send me confirmation. In May of 2017, Alice and I went to Aruba, one of our Aruba trips. We love Aruba. If you've never been there, go. It's worth it. It's close, too. So we went to Aruba. When I was in Aruba, as I was praying one morning, I heard that it was time for me to mend fences with my stepmom, who I hadn't talked to in 26 years. And so as we sat in Aruba, I said to Alice, I think I'm supposed to call Venus. I said, I don't even know how I'll reach her, but this is what we're supposed to do. And she said, okay. And so I got back and I sent Venus a letter, found her address, looked like she had been remarried. I sent her a letter through, I think, priority mail, something where it tells you when they receive it. And I get the thing that she receives it, and 2 minutes later, my phone rings from Hawaii, from Venus. And she said to me, and she said, oh my God, Brad. And my letter to her was repenting to her for the things that I had done and the time that I had stayed away, because I never understood how much of a blessing she was to my dad. All I heard about was negative, 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 but she was a blessing to my dad. And so we started to build a relationship. And a year later, Alice and I, this past couple weeks ago, went to Hawaii. And I got to see Venus and her husband and my stepsister, Tukta, and Venus's sister, Bun. And we got to go out to dinner. They're from Thailand. That's where the funny names come in. And we got to go out to dinner and just watch God restore this family. And the revelation, the greatest revelation I can share with you is the revelation I got out there with them. I finally got the revelation of where my rejection came from. And for years, I thought it was from the divorce. And it had nothing to do with the divorce. It had everything to do when I asked my dad if I could go live with him. And when I was 17, and the lie that I believed was it was okay for him to have a new family, but I was only good enough to visit and not be part of their family. When we went to dinner with Venus and Tukta, I realized we were basically strangers after 27 years, and I was still part of their family and always had been. They never knew that I asked my dad to come live with them. Venus had always wanted a son, and she said that she would have loved to have me come live with them. But what I realized is I had believed a lie for so many years. And that lie had nothing to do with me. And I realized that it was really out of my dad's selfishness that he said, "Don't come live with me. I don't want you to come live with me." But his selfishness might have been the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And he realized that our Heavenly Father, before I knew him, he knew me. And he was watching out for me when I was 17, that I wouldn't go making the mistakes that I was trying to make. And I look back, and it will take me 6 months, maybe a year, to really unpackage this revelation. But as I look back in the short term, I can see in business, in ministry, in marriage, in all areas of this life, where believing that lie has affected my life in a negative way. We left Hawaii, and I realized that I had finally truly been set free from rejection and finally understood what God was trying to teach me. You know, we closed on our house, I think it'll be 2 weeks this Thursday. And as I realized that we closed on our house, I realized that Dad was smiling. Actually, I need to share something else with you that I will in a minute. But I realized that Dad was smiling. Because that's why he moved to the United States. So I could have a house, so I could work for big corporate companies, so that I could be successful, so that I could have a better chance than I would have in Canada. You know, last Father's Day, we were here on Sunday morning, and Monday I flew to Atlanta, and I was, Ron will know this hotel, at the Hilton in downtown Atlanta, the big Hilton, and I was in my bed, and about 1:30 in the morning, I think it started, I went into an open vision. And I was in the heavens with my dad. And we were sitting on a beach that had no sand, it had gold. And we would walk out into the water every 10 minutes as we would get warm. And the water was crystal clear and blue. And we had this amazing talk about life. And I said to Dad, I said, "You know, I have a lot of questions for you because there's a lot of unanswered questions." And I remember him telling me, I said, "What happened from May to your birthday?" I said, "You accepted Christ." And he goes, "Well, I accepted Christ, but I still didn't really want him there with me." He goes, "But after reading your book, I wanted to be in heaven so I could see you again." And I sat in this bed as I laid there and had this conversation with my dad and all these questions getting answered for me. And I was like, wow, you know, I made a conscious effort at 33 years old to give my life to Jesus. And now I'm starting to really, I've always reaped the fruits and the benefits of it, but now I'm starting to understand the supernatural power of God. And Dad and I started to talk about my Nana, who was a Christian, who really was the one who introduced me to Christ while she was on this earth. We used to watch First Baptist Orlando or the Hour of Power every Sunday together. She lived in a completely Jewish building, and she was Christ's messenger in that building without saying his name. That's true ministry, when you can live it and love somebody and don't mention the name of Jesus and let them see Jesus on you. I realized, and Nana would tell me stories about people coming to her in their final days, having long conversations with her. I now understand today what that was all about. I realized that she probably led more people to the Lord than I might ever know. And I'm asking Dad, and I said, "Dad, did you know this about Nana?" He goes, most people knew this about your Nana. I said, nobody talked about it. He goes, of course. He goes, it would be disrespectful with Jewish people to be talking about this. He said, but everybody knew this about your Nana. He starts to tell me things about life, and he starts to repent to me as I'm in this vision with him, in this open vision with him. And he embraced me, and he said, you have an inheritance from about four generations earlier that has been killed, and nobody has been interested, and you're the first person who's been interested. I said, we come from a line of rabbis. He said, not four generations ago. He said, there was a pastor there. And I was like, wow. And I think about this on Father's Day today. And I think about how much God loves us, that he opens up the heavens and brings heaven to earth. And he gives us open visions, and he gives us visions, and he gives us dreams, and he gives us answers when we think we'll never have answers. When Dad died, I wanted answers, okay? I really wanted answers. And I prayed and I said, God, I want some answers about his last moments. And I got them. I won't go into it. It's a pretty long story. But I got all the answers that I asked for. I know Dad is proud of me today. And as much as we disagreed with a lot of things that each other did in life, we both loved each other. And I believe that that's my message for us today as sons. We have to love each other. And we have to love and honor our dads. Good or bad, they're still our fathers. You know, Charlie always says we don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. We don't. We really don't. But as sons, we have to respect our papas. We have to love them. It's okay to disagree with what they're doing, but we have to love them. It's taken me a long time to get to a place where I can really, truly honor my dad and be thankful for all that he did in my life. He did so much for me, but the enemy lied to me for so many years and told me that Dad did so much against me. He really didn't. He did a lot more for me than he ever did against me. And the times that he wasn't doing what I thought he should be doing, I realize now that that was God protecting me. Had I moved in with my dad, I would have spent a bunch of years living with a warlock. We all know what that would have turned into. That impartation would have come on me. And I realize now that God has much better things in store for me than that. You know, sons alter reality as we believe lies. We take what we thought was reality and we change it to go along with the lie that we've believed. And that's where we need to be one with God, an intimate relationship with God. When we get truly intimate with him, he starts to correct those lies. He starts to teach us that those are lies, that those aren't the truths that we were really believing. I believed for 27 years that my dad didn't want me? I'm a fool to believe that. But we believe that, and we keep believing them sometimes so much because that's what we've heard from society or other people in our lives, or people would say, well, your dad's not a great guy. He's not. He's this and that and all this other stuff. Guess what? We still have a choice to believe what God says and not what others say. Today on Father's Day, as I think about Romans 5:8, as I think about while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, I think about how grateful and thankful I am to be David Gilman's son, to be God's son, to be Charlie Coker's son. And I think about the blessing that I have in my life as I've turned to the Lord. I challenge you today to do a check on your intimacy, because I believe that's where we're where we're stuck is in our intimacy. If we'll get unstuck in our intimacy, we'll start to understand the 4 weeks of Mike and Lisa Shannon's messages. We'll start to understand what healthy family looks like. I haven't seen what healthy family looks like. I got to see it in Hawaii. 27 years I've been apart from my stepmom and my stepsister. And I sat there and repented to them and shared with them about my life and repented for my dad. And I realized that I didn't need to do any of that. I had their love the whole time. Personally, I needed to, but I didn't need to do it for them. They had always had open arms to receive me. Guess what? God has open arms to receive you. So I would like to just have some praise and worship music put on, or if you, Stephanie, maybe you want to just play something. If you need prayer this morning, need healing this morning, if you just want somebody to agree with you, I'm just going to open the altar up. For all the men here, there is a free copy of my book. Marianne will be handing them out. So if you need to leave early in between or whatever, I mean, I'm just going to pray for people. And then people can go on their way and do what they need to do. But be thinking about where you're at intimately with God. Are you in a place with Him that He can speak to you and get you to understand what He's saying? And tell you how much He loves you. That's what Father's Day is really about for a son. It's about knowing the love of the Father. And so I pray today for everybody in here, women and men, that God will touch your heart. I was reading through some old journals this week as we moved and got settled. I found an old journal yesterday. It was back from 2010. And Alice had had a very bad car accident. She had fractured her pelvis in 5 places. And in June, I prophesied to her. I said that on August 19th, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and start to shake. And your life will never be the same. God's going to touch you when you wake up. And I went back in my journal and I saw that on August 19th that year, as she woke up, and I had written about 3 pages where she woke up shaking. And the presence of God was so strong in our bed, and she grabbed me and we shook together. And God shook us that day. He touched us that moment. And her life and my life were never the same. I believe God wants to shake all of us today. He wants us all shaken in Him. Not rattled, but shaken. We can truly receive Him in this place. I hope you understand that this message today was only possible because of Jesus in my life. I was trying to paint the picture, which is why I told you the story I did, the full version of the story, so that you understood what the struggle was and that Jesus could be glorified for all the work He did and continues to do in our lives.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.